We may now turn to the Word of God, to the Psalm we previously read, Psalm 71. You will see that there is no indication of who the author of this Psalm is. We don't have any title to it. It's just simply Psalm 71. Most are of the opinion that it was indeed David who did author this psalm, but we cannot be dogmatic because there is no indication given as to who did write it. And furthermore, when we consider the content, we cannot be certain that this would simply be the experience of the psalmist David. But it is part of the inspired word. And all scripture, we are told, is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And therefore, this being part of that inspired word, this is how we ought to consider it, as being a psalm of instruction, that we might be improved spiritually as we consider its content. But you will see from the content that it is one of the peculiar psalms among the 150 that we have, because it is a psalm particularly for the aged. When we read through the Word of God, we find that the Word is so suitable in all the experiences of life. God has something to say to young and to old, and the Word of God is given to be applied at every stage in life. And you will see that the author here says in verse 18, "Now also when I am old," that's the state I'm in, that's the stage in life that I have arrived at. "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not," and so on. That is obviously then a psalm of reflection. It is when the psalmist is old, he's able to look back. In fact, he looks right back to his birth. In verse 6 of this psalm, he says, "By thee have I been holden up from the womb. From my first breath in this world, I have been dependent upon God, and he has helped me up until now. I am old and gray-headed." So it is a psalm in which we have the aged psalmist looking back and reminiscing, and he is seeing the hand of God in all his concerns. And therefore, considering this as a psalm for the aged, the first thing that we might note from it is the blessings of old age. Those who become aged generally find themselves afflicted physically or infirm in many different respects. And yet, according to the psalm here and its contents, for the child of God, old age brings particular blessings. And you see this in the psalm here. He's looking back, and he's observing what God has been doing. And in the opening words of the psalm, he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." That's his present mind. "I put my trust in the Lord," presently. I'm exercising faith in God presently. But he's able to look back and say in verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth." And he's looking back to his youth. And he hasn't changed in his attitude. He's saying, I had to trust God when I was young. Now I am old, and I'm still as dependent upon God. I am still trusting God. And so you can see that old age brings this confirmation because of experience. Confirmation, God can be trusted. I have learned throughout life to trust him, to depend upon him. And I can now look back and say, he has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. He has never deserted me. And therefore, in thee, O Lord, do I still put my trust. Now, you can see that he is, in verse 5, saying, for thou art my hope. Why am I still trusting? Because of what God has proven to me, he is to me. It's because of my experiences with God that I can rely upon him and I can trust him. And in verse 6, he says, by thee have I been holden up, or it can be rendered kept alive. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. He's looking back to his entrance into this world. And no doubt, like any other child, he would not be able to remember the moment he was born. He would not be able to remember his first breathings in this world, or even his first attempts at speaking or whatever. But this is what he does know. God kept me from my very mother's womb. And he says, thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. And he's praising God because of what God has done. Because he did this, he says, my praise shall be continually of thee. I will thank God for my birth. And I will thank God for my mother. And I will thank God for the home and the family into which I was born. You can see David here, if this is the author, and it doesn't matter if it's someone else. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, and I'm still trusting God, how different it could have been if God had not held me up and kept his hand on me from my birth. And if my mother had been a different mother, how would I find myself in old age? And he's looking back and he says, my praise shall be continually of thee. I'll be continually praising thee for the mother that bore me, for the home into which I was born, that influenced me, that had such an impact upon me. And here I am in old age, and I'm trusting God, and I'm looking back and seeing what God has done for me. And that is something when you look over the congregation here. I suppose everyone here has had, to some degree or another, that kind of privilege. You can all look back and you can remember your childhood, your upbringing, your parentage, and whatever faults and feelings your poor parents may have had. This is what the psalmist says, my praise shall be continually of thee. When I look back and see my privileges, see how different it, and think how different it would have been had I been in another home, had I had a different mother, a godless mother, a blaspheming mother, a heathen mother. This is what David is thinking about. I was born into the covenant community. I was born into the privileges of the worship of Jehovah God. I grew up singing and praising God, and even as a youth, trusting God. You remember when David was before Saul, and he was offering himself to go out and fight with Goliath. And of course, no one thought that David, a stripling of a youth, was in any position to take on such a man of war. And what did David say? When he was out looking after the sheep, he said, "The God who enabled me to take the lamb out of the mouth of the bear and out of the mouth of the lion, the God who delivered me from them will deliver me from Goliath." And obviously there he was out looking after the flock, but he was already a young man of faith. And he's speaking here of his youth. "Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." You remember what Paul said to Timothy? He was reminding him of his childhood privileges, and that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. It is a great, great privilege to be born into a home where the Scriptures are the daily routine and the reading of them, and where they are taken as the rule of faith and practice. And the psalmist is praising God, he says, continually, "When I look back, I cannot do anything other than praise God that he took me out of my mother's womb. He preserved me to old age, and he blessed me and cared for me." You remember what Peter has to say to the scattered saints? "He careth for you, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." That's what the psalmist is really acknowledging here. I can now, in old age, with all the extra cares and burdens that come with old age, I can cast all my cares upon the Lord, because he has shown that he cares for me. And he has cared for me, and he has kept me and preserved me to this stage in life. But then you will see in the psalm there are desires of old age. And of course here we're thinking of spiritually minded old age. You will find people, and when they get old, depending on whether they're spiritually minded or carnally minded, they'll have all kinds of desires, and they will often express them. They want to live longer, some of them. They want to have a comfortable retirement, and they want to be able to relax and enjoy the things that when they worked hard in earlier life they couldn't enjoy. They have all kinds of desires. The Apostle Paul, when he got old, he had a desire. And he tells us what it was. "I have a desire to be with Christ." That's my desire, to be with Christ, which is so far better. But, as he said, it's the mind of God that I have to remain here yet to do some work for God in connection with his church. And when we turn to this psalm, you see that there are very definite desires on the part of this one who is old and gray-headed. What's the desire? Particularly, it is to be useful still. You see what in verse 18 he continues to say. "Now also, when I am old." Yes, I'm old, and it makes a difference. And you will see what he's asking for. "Forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come." What is the desire? Although I'm old, and I'm weaker. And you can see in verse 9 how he expresses himself. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And he was conscious, I'm becoming physically weaker. My strength is failing. I'm not now able to go out and meet Goliath. And he knows perfectly well the experiences of youth will not be returning. He's now faced with the experiences of old age and the infirmities and the weaknesses when my strength faileth. And yet what is he praying for here? Forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. What's he concerned about? That his closing days in life would be useful to the rising generation. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power unto every one that is to come, the children, the rising generation. Give me strength in my old age to be able to contribute to the good of the next generation. And sometimes you see those who are, they get old and infirm and they feel, well, I'm pretty useless, I can't do much. I'm hampered with afflictions physically and forgetfulness and all kinds of problems. Well, the psalmist, he felt that way. And he knew my strength is failing. But he wants God to give him strength. In verse 16, he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Isn't that amazing? My strength faileth, but that ought not to be a hindrance. I will still go in the strength that belongs to God and comes from him. When mine fails, God's won't fail. Isn't that amazing? When my strength is failing, God's strength isn't going to fail. And so he says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Now isn't it very, very profitable when someone is aged, mature, and made wiser through life's experiences? Aren't they in a position to advise youth? Because they can say, well, I was young once just like you. I was your age. And I used to think like you. And I used to talk like you. I know what it is to be young like you. But I'm old now. And I've had some experiences with God. Many experiences. And the psalmist speaks of them later in the psalm. But this is what the desire is. Now that I'm old and I've passed along the journey of life, and God has been teaching me from my very youth. And the intention is what I've learned, I want to pass on. I want to use it for the good of those that are coming behind, those that are rising up, the next generation, and the young from this congregation should be receiving wisdom and encouragement from those who are older, who are able to say to them, well, out of my experience and out of my knowledge and understanding of God's dealings with me from my youth, he has chastised me, he has instructed me, he has afflicted me, he has taught me various ways. I've had to learn hard lessons, and they can advise. And young people should always remember this too. that when the older members of Christ's cause and church are speaking to them, that when they're offering advice, sometimes it is very costly advice. And they're not speaking just because they think they're superior or merely because they think they're wiser. Very often when they offer advice, it is to prevent the kind of afflictions and chastisements and rebukes that God had to use to teach them. And that's why it's always wise. It's always wise for a young believer to seek advice from those who are old and take note of the gray hairs and remember where they came from and how they came about. This is what the psalmist says. My strength is failing, but I will go in the strength of the Lord, and I will use the strength that he will give me to try to benefit the rising generation. You see, this is the wonder of the Church of Christ. It is like a family. It is like an extended family, and those who are older, they do have responsibilities for those who are younger. But those who are younger have an obligation to listen to those who are older. And there should not be this dividing, as it were, and the older, as it were, separating, and the young becoming disjointed. That should not be. The psalmist, in old age, still wanted to do something for God. He still wanted to make a contribution to the good of Zion. He wanted, when he was away from this world, when he had taken his departure, that some advice or counsel that he had offered would still bear fruit. Now, you will see again in this psalm, as well as the desires produced prayers. And the psalmist is praying, already we've noted it, in verse 18 again. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. And going back up to verse 9, he says, cast me not off in the time of old age. And of course, that is perhaps because of that feeling, what can I do? What usefulness is there for me in the cause of God? David knew, if this is his psalm, I can't go out and fight the battles that I used to fight. I cannot flee from Saul the way I used to do when I was young and strong. I could hide in the mountains and the caves. I could escape because I had strength and youth and vigor in my side. I don't have it now. But God will not forsake me, and he will give me the strength. Verse 14, he says, I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more. And you will see that this psalm is in many respects full of praise. In the verse 8, the psalmist says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and thy honor all the day. All the day. And you will see later on that he speaks in a similar way. Verse 14, he says, I will hope continually and yet praise thee more and more. As I get older, I will praise thee more and more. I have more to praise thee for, because I have more to acknowledge. And you see in verse 24, he says, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. What a conversation that would be to hear. You come into contact with the psalmist, you couldn't help but appreciate he is a very grateful man. And he's very grateful for what God has done for him. And he is here saying, my tongue also shall talk of what? Thy righteousness all day long. It's as though he's saying, I will never grow weary of praising God. I cannot help but praise God. It doesn't matter what company I'm in. I want to praise God because I'm indebted to him. I am grateful for what he has done. We do not know what the psalmist actually means by being old and gray-headed, but he certainly is comparatively old, and he's looking back, and he's praising God, as he says, that took him out of his mother's bowels, that brought him safely from the womb, and has carried him through life to this stage. And he says, in reality, when I've gotten old now, everything else feeds into insignificance. Nothing is, when I look back and I look around me and I see the world and I've seen so much of it, you imagine if you'd sat down with David, if this is his psalm, or anyone else, and you young people sometimes, children particularly, when they are in the company of an old grandfather or grandmother, they want to hear about some of the stories they can tell them from their life's experience. And oftentimes they think there are certain things that I would like to hear my aged grandparents speak about. Tell me about what they did when they were in their teens. Tell me what they did, what life was like when they were in their 20s or whatever. The psalmist in his old age, as he reflects on all of life, this is the conclusion he comes to. Nothing is worth talking about in comparison. Nothing else is of any great value to talk about. Just talk of his righteousness all day long. He never would grow weary engaged in spiritual conversation. He would want to talk about what the Lord had done for him. And he says, I will praise thee more and more. The older I get, the more I want to praise God. It's not less. He doesn't think, well, I have to be excused, because now I'm old, and people have to recognize I'm weak, I'm infirm, I've got all kinds of problems, physically, mentally, psychologically, whatever. The psalmist says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I want strength to praise him all day long. It is truly, and I'm sure some of you have had the experience, you meet an old, saintly, godly soul, and you know perfectly well, although they're in this world, that's not where their minds and hearts are. Their hearts are somewhere else. I remember once when I was out in Ukraine years ago, and we were passing through the courtyard of one of the big Orthodox monasteries. And there was an old monk there, and he was feeding the pigeons. His mind had gone, and he was talking to them as if they were his friends. And the interpreter that was with us, I couldn't help, I suppose it's because I'm Irish, I thought it was quite funny to watch this old man talking to these pigeons as he fed them. And then I was rebuked, the interpreter rebuked me, and he says, you shouldn't laugh. He says, that old man, he's not in this world anymore. He's already in heaven. In his mind, he's already in heaven. And I believe that as the Apostle Paul was coming to the latter part of his life, that's where his mind was. That's where his heart was. He had the desire to be with Christ. He just wanted to be in his company. And this is how the psalmist is speaking here. Verse 15, he says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Why? For I know not the numbers thereof. I mightn't have many days left to praise the Lord. So I'm going to make use of the time that's available to me. I'm going to redeem the time because the days are evil. I don't know how long I have in this world, but my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Nothing else is interesting me like it used to do. Now my mind is on heavenly things. Now my mind is centering on my future eternal home and in what God has done for me. What does he say? I will show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation. The salvation that God has provided for my soul. But there's one last thing we may note. And that is the wisdom of old age in this psalm. With the gray head, Solomon says, ought to come wisdom. And you can see the wisdom of the psalmist here in verse 16. He says, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. What do I want to talk about? My own righteousness? No. I want to talk about his righteousness, God's righteousness. And you see that this is his desire, whatever days he has left. He wants to glorify God. He wants to draw attention, not to himself, but to what God has done. Verse 24, my tongue also shall talk of what? Of thy righteousness all the day long. Now, when men and women ordinarily become aged, well, naturally, they want to think back, well, what have I done in my life? What have I achieved? What have I accomplished? And many might look back, the rich man, the rich farmer, and the scriptures, the New Testament is sufficient as an example. His fields brought forth plentifully. So what does he say? I've done well for myself, so I will build bigger barns where I can bestow all my goods. And then I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and so on. And it's when men and women get old, they look back. And maybe they'll even begin to write their autobiography. And they want to leave behind the information about their accomplishments, their achievements, their heroics, all that they contributed to the world. That's what they might want to talk about. And you will meet people like that, and that's all they ever talk. When I was young, I did this. When I was young, I did that. When I was your age, this is what I did. And when I got a certain age, this is what I'd achieved. This is the amount of money I made. This is the size of business I achieved, and so on. These are the great things I did, and people are interested in them. Ah, the psalmist says, all I want to do is talk about the righteousness of God. Exalt his righteousness. I have nothing in myself worth talking about. I have nothing about me that's worth hearing. I just want to talk about God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that he gave to me when all my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. And I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to waste my time talking about my filthy rags. But what I will do it all day long, I will talk about God's righteousness in Christ Jesus that he has given freely to me. This is the psalmist looking back on life. And what does he say? Thy righteousness, verse 19, that he wants to talk about also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Listen to the great things he's done. Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles. Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles. Yes, I've had grief and sore troubles, great troubles, sore, painful troubles. But it's been God's doing for a reason. But I'm not going to talk about my troubles. I'm not going to talk about my great troubles. I'm going to talk about the righteousness of God. That's my boast. And you go back to verse 7, he says, I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. I am a wonder. What it means is I'm a sign, I'm an example. What God did to me and with me was for a reason. He didn't just send sore troubles and trials to afflict me. He showed me all these things and he sent them so that others looking on would see the grace that he gave me to come through them. I am as a wonder unto many. They look upon me. What it means is as a sign for the future. They look upon me and my response to God's dealings with me as a sign pointing them forward to be trusting in God, boasting in his righteousness, recognizing his great goodness and his mercy and his grace all the way through. Thou hast taught me. Thou hast taught me from my youth. How is he taught? Thou hast showed me great and sore troubles. And that's been the school of learning. God put me into that school to teach me so that I might be of use to the rising generation when I'm old. I can give them advice. I can give them counsel out of my experiences. And I can tell them that there is nothing else so sweet to talk about as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Here is a psalm that some of us may be able to use presently, but it will be a psalm that we'll all, if we're spared, one day need and profit from reading it and making use of it. But we shall leave it there. May God bless to us these few words.